Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Realm of the Historics. Of course, it's a Sunday morning. Where are you? Where are you? And what are you doing? Likai, Tsala Namibia. All right. Excuse me. All right. We continue. That was just for you to start settling down. So we are going to look at some forms of world government. Some forms of world government, we have what we call authoritarianism or totalitarianism. Or we have what we call democracy. And then we have monarchism. Under monarchism, we have absolute monarchism. We have parliamentary not parliamentary, but constitutional monarchism, and then we have ceremonial monarchism. Then we have oligarchy, or oligarchy, however you pronounce it. Whether you say oligarchy or whether you say oligarchs or oligarchy, oligarchy. However, we are looking at those forms of government today. And I know that most of us are praising, or let me say, you know, the Western world embraced democracy, democratic laws and processes, and the rule of law, respect of human dignity and human rights, respect of, you know, freedoms of equality, equity, inclusivity, whatever you can talk about. Those are words that are said by us. People, the people that are in the Western world and those that are in a westernized world. So we are in a westernized world system. Whether we like it or not, that's where we are. And when we are going to talk about monarchism, we're going to find out that after we discuss, you will know which side of the, you will know the type of government that is, you know the type of government you are in. So, you will know what time, what type of government you are under when we will be done with, our discussion. Are you part of a democratic world? Or is it democratized authoritarianism? Or, I will speak English today. Are you in a democratized authoritarian government system? Or in an authoritarianized democratic government system? Where are you? Is there anything called pure democracy? This is 100% democratic. 100% authoritarian. Then we think we can talk about 100% authoritarians or absolute authoritarian, absolute democracy. Is there something called absolute democracy? Nope. Democracy, just democracy. All right. So, like I said, today we shall look at different forms of government systems, of governments in the world, and after that you will decide. Based on what you will have heard on this on this presentation, and we have already started without any further delay. Okay? So, authoritarian government. Excuse me. I don't know where my voice is going. Is it because I'm talking about forms of government? Apparently, in this type of government, decisions are run by one individual person, very powerful one, or a smaller group of very powerful people are the ones that are running, are making decisions. They are the ones that are running the decision-making processes. Now, the government is called authoritarians because in this form of government, people should serve the government and not the government serving its people. It is people that need to serve the government. And according to this, authoritarian governments do not respect the right, do not respect the rights of people or rights of individuals. So, and sometimes they can even make it an, they can even create an, a false appearance that will think, that will make you think that this is not authoritarian. It's democratic, some way, somehow, because they hold elections, for example. But these elections are not free and fair. But they are not free and fair because they have already decided which government is sitting. They already have a government. You are just going to... So the elections there are ceremonial and not really responsibility-based. It's just ceremonial elections. So, now you will hold election, but the actual power is intact. You know, you can elect, but the actual power is intact. Apparently, I'm using the word apparently here because what people are saying here, the definitions, I'm going to tell you why I'm using the word apparently here. So now, before the founding of the United States, the world has been under authoritarian government, authoritarian rules, absolute monarchies. Yes. So now I'm just going to give you the definitions of these ones and then we get into the discussion. Now, we now come to democracy. Like I said, authoritarian government is a government where one person who is powerful is ruling, or maybe there is a circle of a small group that is very powerful. They are the one running the government. In other words, in their authoritarian government, the people serve the government. Now, democracy is where apparently the people, the government serves the people and people decide which government to put on. And that government goes to serve the people. I have never seen such a democracy yet in this world. Okay? And I'm going to argue my way in. So apparently in some countries, people decided to put on the government that will serve them. And these are called democratic governments. And they all work for the common good of everyone. So, and a common good is when the government makes laws that would save everyone. That is the idea that the government comes up with decisions and laws that are to help the people and the people decide which government to put in power. And within the democracy, they decide who is authorized to make decisions and so on. So in most democracies, the ideas of liberties and freedoms is very, very, is very important. Rights and liberties and freedoms, those ideas are very important. So those are the rights that no government should take from an individual. And this government have, the people have rights because they just have a rights for being human beings. And that is called natural rights. And then they are saying, the democratic governments tend to respect the rights of individuals to a wider extent compared to authoritarian government. But here's a thing. Democracies may not respect the rights of a minority group, because they are designed to follow the will of the majority. Okay. So now we get to monarchy. Under monarchy, there is what we call absolute monarchism, and then constitutional monarchism, and then ceremonial monarchism. So in a monarchy, a country is ruled by a one hereditary leader. Hey, forgive my tongue. So okay, let me get this word. Okay, it's a hereditary. Hereditary. Okay. The government is ruled by one hereditary leader. Today I'm speaking English. So that leader may be a king or emperor or whatever, or however he may be called, but is a hereditary leader, which means the leadership he has is inherited. So the leadership he has is inherited. He is born in a monarchy, especially in an absolute monarchy. The word absolute means very, very monarchy. So total monarchy, which means the royal family is a royal family. Unless another family becomes powerful and topples them and take over the power. But they remain the royal family. They can come back. Anybody powerful from them can rise and come back. That's how total this monarchism is. So this leader controls the entire government, from the army to the cleaner. In all institutions, from the police to the nurses, they are controlled by one person. If he says one, it is one in the police and one everywhere. And the example of this power is in Saudi Arabia. Mohammed bin Salman is a prince, the crown prince. Right, so we now look at the constitutional monarch. In this form of government, the leader has power and serves as an executive. But the constitution will have to come in and limit his power. And the example of this power is in Monaco. Monaco has this constitutional monarchy. And then we come to ceremonial monarchy. Ceremonial monarchy is not really a power. You know, it's not really power. It's a ceremonial position. It's no longer powerful. Where the monarch has very little power. Very little power and only perform ceremonial duties. Inaugurating a new government. Those are ceremonial duties. He doesn't really play a role in authoritarian duties where his authority is needed. No. He's having little power, very small power. And most of you think the king of Britain is called a king. And while our chiefs, our kings here are called chiefs, bro. Our chiefs and the king of Britain are in the same WhatsApp group. They have little power. And the power has become ceremonial. Because we have overthrown them by electing one central government in Windhoek. Under democratic and constitutional processes. I'll come back to that point. So we are the ones that have overthrown our own kingdoms and rendered our kingdom into traditional authorities. That is the lowest level that we have given them. It is us that have done that. Because we have decided to have one unitary state. And the government in Windhoek is called the central government. And the person at the highest hierarchy is a president, then vice president, prime minister, deputy prime minister. Those top four are the ones. Then you have the chief justice. You have the speaker of the National Assembly. Okay? Then you have the Attorney General, the Prosecutor General, and so forth. 7-1-1-4-8-9-4. Answer call.
Button.
Make them choice, but after, man made everything.
Right, so in an absolute monarchy, the monarch is in control, fully control. In a constitutional monarchy, the monarch has power, but his power is limited by the constitution. And then in a ceremonial monarchy, the monarch has no power. The only power he has is little, very little. He cannot even influence the decisions of government because he's ceremonial. Just like when they call you, if I become a president today, I'll be called Dr. Franz, but I have no honorary degree. I mean, I have no PhD. It just those honorary terminologies. But what if we stand between doctors that are having PhDs? I don't fit to be called any doctor because I don't have any qualification of that sort. That is the same with ceremonial monarchy. When you talk about kings, if you look at the king of Britain and the king in Saudi Arabia, or for example, the king in Morocco, the word king from a Moroccan perspective is more powerful. And the word king, from a British standpoint, is just ceremonial. Because government toppled their kingdoms in the 18th centuries. Because they wanted democracies. And the kings were toppled. So, we also toppled our own kingdoms. And in fact, our own kingdoms were toppled in the early 19th centuries by Straithof. I think it's the one they call Shongola here. So he's the same guy that established who will become the paramount chief in in any of those, you know, establishments. Now, when we look at dictatorship, the government is run by a group of people selected by one person, and that person is a dictator, and they report to him. So, and Turkmenistan is one of those countries that are having a dictator, apparently. This guy has a different name. It's a very powerful name. Berdimuhamedow. So his name is Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedow. That is the leader of Turkmenistan, and is the one that is being accused here of being a dictator. I'm just saying this thing because with a grain of salt, because we need to be careful by calling certain people dictators and then calling ourselves democratic leaders. So this Berdimuhamedow is able to make rules, to make laws and changes to the laws the way he wants. Nobody questions him. Now we go back to the president Boko Duma when he said, look, Ibrahim Traore can make a law today and tomorrow is a law. Can make a decree today and tomorrow it is a law. And apparently that is not possible in Botswana. Because in Botswana the law need to go through some bureaucratic processes. Not Berdimuhamedow. So Berdimuhamedow can just say, no women walking in the street with miniskirts. And it's a law. Tomorrow is a law. But in Namibia, you will hear a lot of human rights activists crying because of that law. And even members of parliament will start to cry because they are also affected. Not in some countries. Okay, we'll find out. We'll find it out. So now let's look at the last form of government. This one is called oligarchy or oligarchy, however you pronounce it. There are many different groups of oligarchies. In an oligarchy or oligarchy government, the government is run by a certain group of people. Sesman is a small group of people that runs the government. A very small group. So, and we have a stratocracy where the government is ruled by the military. The military is the most powerful government. So in a stratocracy, it's the military military that rules. And one country that is under military control is Thailand. That is statocracy. And then you have plutocracy. When a small group of wealthy people are the ones that are in charge of the government. And then we have theocracies, like the government of Iran is a theocratic government because it's an Islamic Republic of Iran. So, and this is because a certain group of religious people are the ones that are ruling the government. They are the government. And then we have, for example, in China, you have one party system, and that's also an oligarchy kind of government. Then we have a parliamentary democracy. So, this is a group where people elect the legislative body called the parliament, and the executive person over that body is called the prime minister. And in this form of government, there are a lot of political parties. And these political parties are forced to unite. They will have to cooperate they will have to cooperate. I don't know where my English has gone today, but anyway, they will have to cooperate for them to form a government because none of them will have the majority required. India is one of those governments. Israel is one of those governments. And Germany will be an example. Then we have presidential democracy, and the only country that fits the presidential democracy is the United States. And in Namibia, we also have that presidential democracy because we go and vote for the president and we go and vote for the party that is in charge. That party will have the majority in parliament, and they will also have the president as a winner. Then we have what we call participatory democracy. This is a government where people have greater responsibility. Other than just voting, they can sit in very important board structures of very, you know, government agencies and so forth. So, and then you have a direct democracy where everyone is in control. Now, after hearing all this, do you think you are in a democracy? And how democratic is your democracy? See, how democratic is your democracy? We hear people in the West especially saying, he is a dictator. But the question is, how authoritarian is authoritarianism? How sure are we that others are dictators or authoritarians and then we are democratic? How sure are we of that? Are we not just playing with terminologies here while our actions speak otherwise? For example, most of the regime change, the regime changes that they take place in the world, the perpetrators are from the so-called democratic world. Yeah? They were perpetrated by the so-called upholders of democracy. All the coups, almost. All the coups from Latin America to Africa were orchestrated by the so-called upholders of democracy. The so-called respecters of the world-based order, the rule-based order. So before you understand, before you criticize anybody, you must follow the motive behind the terminology before you attempt to be pro or anti this one. So now let's go back to one by one. We still have enough time. We still have enough time. Now, most of us will look at countries such as China as dictatorship countries or dictatorial form of government. And then we'll look at us. We are democratic. This is democracy. There are certain hypocrisies that we do or that we have. One of the hypocrisy, I'll give an example of somebody who is coming from the Islamic Republic of Iran. And he comes to Namibia and he wants Namibia to respect the rule of law. For example, he wants Namibia to be tolerant with his Islamic faith or with him being a Muslim. But in a country where he's coming from, they are killing Christians every day. In fact, they are killing Christians, they are killing Hindus, they are killing any other person from any other religion every day. Is a death sentence to convert to any other religion. That's a death sentence. But that person will be here, will be heard here, saying that Namibia is a secular state. So it must, or this person want to lecture people how they should be tolerant when, where he's coming from. That is not happening. That becomes hypocrisy. When somebody is arrested in China and the Americans are saying China must release that person because that person must have freedoms, must have the right of expression. When Julian Assange almost was left to rot in prison. In fact, Joseph Snowden had to flee to Russia. So, when you do the same thing there, it is wrong. When the same thing is done other side, it is correct. That becomes hypocrisy. So, and China or Russia cannot even lecture any country to respect freedom of expression because they arrested a lot of, you know, journalists for the same thing. That is how powerful our hypocrisy is. Let's go for a short musical break and we'll be right back.
Usi siem da beni,
All right, we continue. So this is how now we became democratic. And politicians will not tell you if there is any... Okay, let me reserve my words before I get into trouble. So, but politicians have found a way. They really have found a way to take us for fools. You know, they think somewhere, somehow we are some kindergarten, citizens that we don't understand much. So they take advantage of that. Or maybe we don't. Because most of us, that when we are around politicians, for example, if the meeting is in Klein Vinduk and you come from Okuliangaba, you leave your medulla oblongata in the bathroom. And then you come to a political meeting in town or at Independence Stadium and your brain is left at home. Some of you left your brain even in when you came to when you went for ascension, you left your brain in Omgwelume. So next time when there will be a political meeting, you will just go. We clap our hands, no analysis, nothing. No time to process what the person has said. We just ululate and clap our hands. And politicians look at us and they say, oh, this is a goat in the mouth of a hyena or a bear. Innocent goat. That's how politicians take us and they look at us. Now, here's what politicians will never tell you. Politicians will say, For example, they like to say this. The Bible was used to colonize. It's a white man's book. And Christianity is a, you know, it's a white people's religion. We had our own religion in Africa. Oh, okay. So, who among the politicians is a believer in African religion? None. Okay? None. And in fact, in Namibia, no one is a believer in African religion. Why? Because African religion does not exist. That's just a phraseology that was coined. There is nothing called African religion. All these religions that we have here, whether it is Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever, they have doctrines and they have structures. So no one can tell you what is the doctrine of the African religion and what is the structure thereof. No one can say that. And we believe this blindly. In fact, you will hear people like Maponga also saying the same. And you see, people like Maponga will say one thing today, and tomorrow is preaching Jesus Christ. And yesterday was saying Jesus is a foreign entity. But tomorrow is going to preach Jesus. In fact, Maponga is a bishop. So you can't be a bishop if you are not a Christian. So this is how much of hypocrisy that we have. So, the fact that we do not have time to analyze, and we also don't spend time reading. We spend time talking and spreading rumors about rich people and about how they become rich. Because we are bitter, we can't make it in life, so we are bitter against anyone that makes it. And we spend time, you know, talking against those people that are making money, that are working hard. So as a result, we lack basic information. And somebody can come and twist one thing, and we clap hands. We believe. We take them for their words. Because we have no depth, we have nothing. We sit in meetings with nothing. So somebody is going to talk about Pan-Africa. What is Pan-Africanism? You go there empty. You don't even know what Pan-Africanism, who started Pan-African, where the Pan-Africanists, what do they stand for? What do they believe in? You just go to the meeting empty and you clap hands. Or you go to a church conference and you are going to be taught the principles of wealth. For example, by a pastor from Nigeria. And this person is going to teach you about the principles of wealth. Do we have any biblical principle of wealth? What is a biblical principle of wealth? Of making, how do you become rich according to the Bible? It's by doing what? And because you don't have that information, you go and clap your hands, and before you know, you go and foolishly leave your money in the basket. So that's how we fall prey to false pastors and also to politicians. This is how much we fall prey. Okay, business people have their own, The good thing I like of business people is that business people is about negotiation. You know, to them is a give and take. They don't really have time to lecture anyone. No, they just bring their product, they market it. You like it or you dislike it. They don't have time to lecture or manipulate somebody. There are fewer cases. And in fact, if there are people that we shun the most in Namibia, are business people. If there is anybody that we shun the most in Namibia, is a business person. We want his shop to close. We want his business to close. We don't have peaceable mechanisms on how to approach and talk to them. We want them to close down. If we hear any rumor about them, we go to their thing and disrupt their work. But people who have lied to us are politicians and false pastors. So, in other words, we can say, look, have time to read. The problem in Namibia is that we don't read. And how do you know that you are in a democracy? How do you know that you are in a democracy? Can you define your democratic processes? Or are you able to define how democratic your processes are? So not everything that is in black and white is working practically. Things are good looking in black and white, but in actions we say otherwise. Not many years ago, you know, not a long time ago, when the government and the government was threatening us with their own 2015 Environmental Act law. I mean, Environmental Health Act, which was even formed before COVID-19, and it is the one that is used to threaten people with COVID-19. And now it turns out that, okay, the president is now late. You see, the president is now late, so he will not be able to stand for himself. But Dr. Pierre Mushelenga is still alive, because he was at the helm of the Ministry of Information that time. And in fact, he was the one threatening people with the Environmental Health Act of 2015 for people to pay $100,000 fine for saying anything otherwise about the so-called COVID-19 vaccine. Now, if you bring Dr. Pierre Mushelenga today and you ask him a question based on what Congress is doing in the United States, you see, that's how democratic we were during COVID-19. And it's not only us. There are many governments now that could otherwise not answer, because it turns out that people are questioning the efficacy of the vaccine that we so much praised and glorified, and to the point that we even went and threatened. So the doctor is still alive, and the people in at IPPR, they are still alive. The Institute of Public Policy and Research, they are still there. They were the fact checkers, in fact, when it comes to COVID-19. They were the ones that had all the truth. So you go and ask them. And now they will tell you whether they'll be able to answer you or they'll not answer you. That is tantamount to the results of to their response. So all these are done because the citizenry do not have a responsibility enough. Most of us don't read. We only hear. And even what we hear, we don't even hear it well. For example, you just hear that there is money missing in the government. And before we know, you are talking on the radio angry, but you don't have the information. You are just fighting in the air. Like somebody just firing at random. You know? You don't have any, there is no threat, you are just firing at random. Like, po, 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 po. People are asking, why the sound of the gun? Who is shooting? Who is shooting what? And you see people taking position and they are firing. But there is no target. That is how we are on radios. We have reduced ourselves to talkaticians. But we are not well-informed talkers. We just hear the number of the studio and you pick up a phone and you call. But you have no idea of what you are talking about. You see, that's a level to which we have reduced ourselves. And you can even find the person who is calling on and say, what is the topic? Huh, bro? When you come on the radio, the first thing is to listen. Secondly, is to read. Thirdly, understand. Then, lastly, that's when you call in and give your thoughts, based on what you have read and what you understand. You don't just call. And that's why we become very worked out. And in fact, we don't even know that the Ministry of Fishery and the Ministry of Agriculture, all these ministries have license, or they have licenses which you as a citizen can acquire. And you can use that license to make money. We don't know that. Because we have no time to read. So, how democratic is your democracy? Do you know? How democratic is your democracy? Okay, not many days ago, we were grappling with the possibility of elections being nullified because certain politicians and certain groups of political parties were not happy with the way the elections were conducted, and they wanted elections nullified. And of course, the Supreme Court ruled otherwise. Whether that is correct or wrong, that's not my cup to drink. But you see, the reason why I question this form of government is also is that it seems in this government, you see, for a dictator that is very clear, and an authoritarian government is very clear, because that one is a dictator. He comes in, he wants to rule, and that's it. But if we are saying that we are in a democratic process, and somebody wins, and we say it's a majority rule, right? Somebody has won. But just because I did not win, I would want that election nullified so that we try again. At least maybe I might come out. Even those who did not even make a point. Okay, for somebody that make, maybe it was 49.5, and then the other one is 41, or the other one is 40.5. You can say, maybe he stood a chance. Maybe there was a mistake. We can rerun. Not the fact that I got zero. And I'm still claiming that the election was rigged. Huh? And if you want to know how democratic we are, just go to congresses. Now, this is across the board. Whether it is the ruling party or any other party, you will see people are fighting. And in fact, somebody, as I speak now, is also contemplating on starting his own political party. And we have 21 political parties in Namibia. You want to tell me that all of those people have the nation at heart? So democracy and whatever form of government, democracy is not as democratic as we think it is. And dictatorship is not as dictatorial as we think it is. And authoritarianism is not as authoritarian as we think it is. Okay? So now let's go. And I just want to show you how we, whether we knew it or we didn't knew, this is what we have done. When we got independent, what did we choose? We chose what? Democracy. Okay? Not just democracy, but Western democracy. Now, a politician will go at the Magongo Festival and make a statement. And he makes a statement that contradicts with the actions on the ground. For example, I heard some years ago a politician said, no, traditional authorities, our kings, have power. And the people were clapping their hands. When I was like, oh. You see, the reason why I cannot be a politician or I cannot preach in church is because to me, what is blue is blue. Now, after making a statement at a certain place, comes back to Windhoek and say, we only have one power. Okay, we only have one power, which is what? Central government. And the central government has no representation whatsoever from any of the traditional authority bodies. So when we talk about the three branches of government, what are we talking about? We are talking about legislative, we are talking about executive, and the judiciary. Klar. Full stop. It ends there. And that is Windhoek. The capital city of Namibia is what? Windhoek. So Namibia is a unitary, democratic, secular state. Now, if you become a kingdom, there is no way you will be secular. Because kings have deities to which they subscribe. So there is no, and you see, traditional authorities are not secular either. Because they believe in the powers of what? Of their ancestors. That's not secularism. So for you to end all that and declare Namibia fully secular and fully democratic, you'll have to topple kingdoms and render them powerless. For you to be able to declare Namibia as a secular state, you'll have to have toppled the kingdoms and then render them powerless. And then you establish all democratic processes. And then not only that, you westernize all the processes. They must be under, look, no law in Namibia is ancestral. For example, your spirit of your ancestors have no part in the law. Because the law is entirely secular. And it's also Roman Dutch law. So where do we put the traditional authorities? We have put them out of the wall. And the person that started to build this wall, and in fact these walls were started to be built by in 1901 or 1909, between 1909 and 1910. That's when these walls started to be built, and the traditional authorities, they started losing power step by step until 1990, when they came to lose it completely. Now, I'm not telling you something new. You know what I'm talking about. So, they have become ceremonial. Just like Britain has become. Britain has become ceremonial. And it was during the 18th century when people chose secularism over absolute monarchism. It is a people. People became politicians. Because in politics, everybody can become, can have a, you know, everybody can have a say. Even those who were not raised properly, who were not brought up properly, can become members of parliament, and they change laws. Not in a monarchy. In a monarchy system. No. Not in a kingdom. In a kingdom, they also look at your upbringing. Whose child are you? Whose seed are you? You don't just jump and become a leader. No. It's merit. and very serious merit. But we wanted freedom, so we have toppled all that, we have thrown it all that out in the sea. And anybody now can become a politician. And most people in this modern world that have reduced themselves to be so-called, you know, human rights activism or activists. If you follow them very well, you find out why they are activists. So all that was not part of our culture. Now, if we look at, when we talk about culture, we threaten certain people. Because secularism has given certain people very much rights to even be part of something that otherwise was impossible under the auspices of a culturally traditional kingdom existing. So, you see, in this world now, we are being lectured by people who have failed to raise their children properly. Most of them are the ones that are now lecturing us on how we should raise our own children. In fact, most people that were not raised up, when their upbringing are questionable, are the ones that are mostly activists. And they are so-called human rights activists, lecturing everyone on how they should respect the so-called rights. So, that's why for me, if I could choose what type of government we should have, you will have to forgive me here. I would not have chosen democracy. Absolute monarchy, where we know there is a king. You know? And we know, we wake up and we know there is a law. One is one. See, most of the countries that are in chaos, in you know, where there is social decay and moral decay, are democratic countries because there is no law. And I want you to know that the law of conscience is not democratic. Your own conscience is not democratic. So, your own conscience is not democratic. How we want to be democratic, that still baffles me. Because our own genetic makeups, our own biology is not democratic. If you are a boy, you are just a boy. If you are a girl, you are just a girl. That's a natural law. It is never democratic. If you are blind, you are just blind. Klar. So how we became democratic, I don't understand. In fact, in this world, we don't exist because we have the right to exist. We exist in this world because we have a responsibility. And I always tell people that I don't go to work. And when I go to work, like if I step in this building, every right that I have, I throw it outside. So what I have here is the responsibility to do what is required. So, I have no right whatsoever in this place. The only thing that I have is the responsibility to do what is required. And you see, that's how we become toxic. Because we keep changing jobs, thinking that the bosses are wrong, are the ones that are wrong. But we have not come to the level of realizing that we are the ones that needs to fix ourselves. So, democracy is busy lecturing other forms of government and thinking that it is the most holy of all governments forms of government. Now, ask yourself this question: how democratic is your democracy? But most of the coups that we know, who funded those coups? Democratic countries. In fact, not only democratic countries, but upholders, the paragons of democracy. And every research institution or fact-finding organization, they are funded by those paragon of democracy states. And for example, we have seen that when we talk about right freedom of expression, we didn't know what we were talking about until COVID-19 came. Then we start to say we are fighting against disinformation and misinformation. So, but if we say now, that we say our school, if we establish a school now, and we say it's an Islamic school, and people are only taught Quran only, some people protest against that. And they'll say, no, that's against human rights. You cannot force people to believe in... Okay. So, if some people say we are a Christian school and we are basing our education on biblical principles, somebody will complain and say it's a violation of some the rights of some people. Okay, so you find a group and they are saying straight men or straight women only. Somebody in LGBTQ will complain and say it's discriminatory. So everyone wants to be included. And we talk about inclusivity. For example, as a blind person, I know that I will never in my life, never drive a car. That one I already know. So, whether it's my right to drive a car or not. As long as I know that as a blind person, I will never drive a car. Finish and clear. Now, whether it is your right or not your right, you know that as a gay male, you will never be pregnant. You know that very well. Why are you not able to be pregnant? Because it is biologically impossible. Whether you want it or not, whether you have a right, we have the right. The reason why I'll not be able to drive a car is because it is biologically impossible. Whether I want it or I don't want it. That's the truth and fact. So, but we keep deceiving ourselves that we can be included in everything. So we keep deceiving ourselves to believe that we can use inclusivity, equity, equality as a bargaining chip. Biology does not work like that. In fact, biology is not democratic. Biology will never be, there is no equality in biology. In biology, there is no equity. In biology, there is no inclusivity. Now, let me give you a practical example. If you are a blind giraffe in a forest, do you think there is inclusivity and the equality or equity or that exists for you? No. You are sitting lunch for a lion. It's only that in the forest, knowledge is not that much widespread. But if the lions would know that, okay, there are blind hippos somewhere, what lions would need to do is to just strategize. And that is going to be free lunch. So, what do you do in a forest where you are an animal with disabilities? What do you do? There is no human rights office there. You will have to, if you are to survive for the next day, it's because of your medulla oblongata that you are using properly. And this is something in democracy that we are not taught. Politicians will never teach us to think and use our brain. Because they know the moment we start to use our brain and start thinking, they will start losing power. And power is more prominent in a poor and ignorant society. When the society is poor and ignorant, people will have more power. So, now, that's why, you know, for example, if there is a meeting in Klein-Winduk, a politician knows that they don't have a message for Klein-Winduk. Because in Klein-Winduk, you don't come and talk about improved sanitation and the potable or distribution of potable water. That's a message of mix. If you want to say those things, you go and say those things at Havana. Not in Klein-Winduk. You don't come here and promise people things. They don't even know what you are talking about. So Havana is where it is today, and Mix and any other location, not because of anything else. It's because we have chosen to be poor and we have chosen to be ignorant. So that's why lions go at a place where hippos are blind, or where springboks are there, but the lions have found out that the springboks are blind. So when you go there, you don't make a sound of a lion. So, but one-on-one with an elephant, a lion has no match. So if you don't use your medulla oblongata, and in fact, people are not taught, even people with disabilities are not taught to understand that the world that we live in is a very ruthless world. If you don't start something, if you don't do something, if you don't, because our belief is that because I am a person with disability, if there is an employment somewhere, the government made it a policy that people with disability must also be included. That's true. But the corporate world doesn't work like that. The corporate world is not created based on government laws. The corporate world is governed by two pillars, productivity and profit. And if you are not able to match that, forget. Even your disability is not a card in corporate world. You need to grow beyond that. It's a very ruthless place. It's a very ruthless place to be. And in fact, the entire world. There is no handout. But politics will teach us to believe that they are human, because there is what we call human rights. You have the right to get a job. That's politics. But practicality says otherwise. If you want a job, you must be employable. Those are principles. Just like if you want to get married. Do you know that even culturally, people with disability were not allowed to get married to anyone because they are already considered unproductive? That is now culturally, traditionally. They were already considered unproductive. But for you to find in a society somebody who is married to a blind person, that blind person might have something unique beyond his disability. He must have an ability beyond his disability. That's what makes him have a house and have to get married and whatever. That's now traditionally. So, but we want to think that because we make political statements, we want to think that those statements are practically possible. No. there is what we call reality. What politicians say versus the actions on the ground. Those are two different things. So the fact that they say people with disabilities must apply does not really mean they want people with disabilities to apply. Those are just protocols that are you know, put there to consider to that. Those are just equality, inclusivity, whatever those terminology protocols. They are not real. They are fantasies. Because how do you expect people with disability to apply and compete with people without disabilities when people with disabilities, most of them, do not even have the opportunity to complete school? That competition becomes unfair. So, now if our own parents do not believe in us, how much more of somebody who is just in the government, who is just a technocrat? When you just pop in and they look at you and say, this is a blind, no, we can't take him. Next. So, the world we live in is tougher than what we think it is. And for you to survive, you need to be tough. In fact, life is like situation is like a giraffe facing off with a lion. That giraffe must be genius, mathematician, and tactician. One kick must send the lion into the bosom of its ancestors. That's how that giraffe will survive. So we need to start reading. We need to start gaining knowledge. Because that is the only thing that can make us equal with others. Otherwise, we will just be listening to political songs. Human rights, equity, inclusivity, equality. Those are political fantasies. They don't exist in a practical life. Never exist. They don't. I've already told you that there is no equity in biology. If you are weak, you are weak. You become prey for other animals. If you are strong, you are strong. If you can see, you can see. If you are blind, you are blind. That's not anybody's business. It's your business. And in fact, what you do with that is what will determine whether you can build a future or not. So that's ruthless truth that needs to be spoken. That those things we fight for are nothing but a fantasy. They don't exist in practical world. In fact, democracy itself is not even reality. It's a political fantasy. So you don't run your life based on politics and democratic processes. Life is more practical. And in life itself is not democratic. Life itself is not democratic. We have come to an end of our program, Reality Check 101. We will meet again next time, next Sunday, and let's have a great afternoon ahead.
Ars Negra.
Territory.